Hello and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey, your co-host, and I'm joined by Tesla Tips and Tricks principal and administrator, Tori Hornsby. Tori, welcome, and how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you.
Great. Well, we've got a packed show today, as always, where we're going to be covering our week in review, some of the top posts from our Tesla Tips and Tricks Facebook group over this past week, and we're going to reveal some really compelling insights from our members, as well as some of our favorite tips and tricks. But before we jump in, I would like to invite those who are watching on our YouTube channel to click the subscribe button so you can see future Tesla Tips and Tricks content. We have a lot of new content, how-tos, that is coming out on a daily basis. So be sure to click that subscribe button. And Tori, for those who may not be familiar, would you please share a little overview about the Tesla Tips and Tricks community?
Sure. The T3 community, as we call it, is the largest Tesla tips oriented Facebook group in the world with over 277,000 members as of today. And that is growing at a rapid pace. And the group's goal is to provide valuable tips, insights, real world hacks, news and member deals for not only current Tesla owners, but also prospective Tesla owners. We have a lot of people who join the group because they're just wanting to check out the scene and see if a Tesla is something that they would want to own. And in terms of the group, 277,000 members is a lot. And we take our moderation responsibilities very seriously. We make every effort possible to fight spammers, to remove inappropriate and disrespectful content, and just ensure that there's a polite, courteous, and fun community for Tesla enthusiasts.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to see the group reach 277,000 members and from all over the world. And it is, as you mentioned, it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year that we're working, and our team is working to ensure that there's quality content there, and it doesn't get log jam with spam and disrespect. And so it's exciting. It's a lot of fun. Well, let's jump in to some of the T3 group's content from this past week. Coming in at number five, we have a post from Linda about, this was kind of neat. Linda's just looking to choose between a Model 3 and a Model Y. My dad has actually been wrestling with this, and we talk about it every time I have dinner with him and my mom. I'm trying to explain to him the differences between the 3 and the Y. So, Tori, take us through a little bit of this post of the feedback Linda got from our members about trying to choose between a Model 3
and a Model Y. Yeah, so her specific question to the group was, can you tell me why you picked a 3 or a Y? And what is very consistent throughout all of the comments, and by the way, this has 310 comments, so a lot of engagement this post has received. And the consistent message is that the space in the Y and sitting up higher is why people picked a Y. And so I've got a comment here. It says, I love the cargo space in my Y. I also like sitting up higher. Here's another comment. I've had both. The 3 is fun to whip around in, but I found the Y to be better due to having more space. Another comment here. We love our Model Y. The interior of the Model 3 is tiny in comparison. If anyone that will be riding in the cars over 5'10 or 215 pounds, I would definitely recommend the Model Y. And then this one again, the Model 3 is more sexy, but the Y is more practical and has much more room inside. I went with the Y. So happy I did. And then last one, go with the Y. It's larger. You sit up higher. And then he also recommends that you go with the Performance, which I do too.
Yeah, that's good feedback, and obviously very subjective. Everybody has different use case scenarios, and if you have kids, or if you're live in this, just depends a lot on your situation. I love the one about the size thing. That's something that you don't think about much. You and I both, I've driven vehicles that were accommodating to, my bigger stature. You're a bigger guy. sometimes you forget when you get in these smaller vehicles just how crunched up a bigger guy can be. So, and of course, that's not relevant to my wife, who is 5'4". So it's just different for everybody.
And one more comment here that I left out is this is probably the most important comment. It's stop by the Tesla showroom closest to your location, step inside, check out your surroundings, take a test drive, and you'll know which one is right for you. That's the most practical and best advice that you could have is go and drive a 3, go and test drive a Y, spend a little time in it, and you'll know which one's right for you.
That is, man, that is the invaluable one right there for sure. That's how you know, try before you buy. So let's move on. Number 4 post from this week from Yev, who shared an analysis of the cost to drive a Tesla.
Yeah, Yev posted really good content. And for those who are more analytical in nature, you'll appreciate. And so basically what he says is that he calculated that his Model Y long range was 122 miles per gallon in the city and 112 miles per gallon on the highway. But when he calculated his cost for him of a kilowatt hour of energy at 36 cents per kilowatt hour, that he could drive 3 to 4 miles on 1 kilowatt hour. And that means that it's going to cost him 36 cents to drive 3 miles on a Tesla Model Y. And then he goes into talking about having a gas or hybrid vehicle that gets 51 miles per gallon, like a Toyota Camry LE. That would only cost him 21 cents to drive 3 miles. So it's cheaper to drive the gas hybrid vehicle per 3 miles than the Tesla Model Y. And he talks about a couple more things there. Some of the comments here, the first one, in Washington here at home, it's 9 cents per kilowatt hour overnight. I know for my house specifically, I'm at 13 cents per kilowatt hour overnight. And that's when I typically do charge. And another comment here says, hey man, you probably saved 25 cents just in electricity cost just by moving out of California. I pay 9 cents here in South Carolina. And then continuing on, that electricity price is insane. The New Jersey off-peak EV rate is only 10 cents. And that's another good thing to do is to call your power company. Sometimes they'll give you a little bit of a discounted rate for a certain amount of consumption overnight if you're charging an EV. Sometimes they have special programs.
Yeah, I think that's certainly, there are even incentives by state in the United States, of course, that vary by state on charging rates.
Yes, absolutely. And the last comment here, and this is probably the best one because it really responds to what he said. And it says, your math assumptions are wrong. So, but then he explains why, because they were. He says, you use the best case, not real world scenario, and the lowest price possible for the RAV4 or the Toyota Camry. And you're comparing the worst case real world scenario for the Model Y. Says simple math, $5 a gallon gets you 5 miles, 10 cents per mile, it's 50 miles. So $5 divided by 50 is 10 cents a mile or 30 cents for 3 miles. So, but then he talks about oil changes and other things that you have to get done for maintenance that you don't have on a Tesla. And there were a couple of more comments in here, Rod, that I think just kind of summing this up are, even if a hybrid is less expensive, what you don't get with the hybrid that you do get with the Tesla is,
it's still a hybrid.
Right. You get fun with the Tesla. You get a little bit more, you get performance depending on the model that you get, even more on the performance models or the Plaid, of course. Of course, you're not getting a Plaid if you're worried about penny pinching like this, but still, you also get all the software, the fun, Santa mode, the emissions, all the toy box. It's just, Teslas are a joy to drive. FSD is way better on a Tesla than you're going to find on a Toyota Camry or a RAV4. So just the overall ownership experience of a Tesla is way better, even if the costs are similar or a little better for a hybrid, which I don't think that they are all in.
Yeah. What was that? 314 comments on this post?
314. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there really are. It's, if you listeners haven't seen this, it's a great post to read through. And for new Tesla owners, I mean, there are things to consider when buying a Tesla that it's not just, hey, you don't have to purchase gas. I mean, there are some other expenses to take into consideration. You know, if you drive like Tori and I, you may go through tires a little bit faster in a Tesla, but there's a lower center of gravity and and that instant torque that they have. So there are a lot of factors. Pretty interesting thread, and obviously a lot of people are interested in this healthy debate about the cost of ownership for an ICE vehicle compared to a mm-hmm. Tesla. So with that, let's move on to one of our favorite topics this week from Marty about FSD.
Yeah. So Marty says, I never thought I'd say this, but after the free month of FSD, Tesla commonly gives out a free month to get people to try it because you'll love it and then you'll buy it. But he says, after this free month, I'm ready to pay my first $99 for FSD. I love it. FSD, for those who don't know, can be purchased via a subscription at $99 a month, or you can buy it outright for, I think it's $8,000. If you already have a vehicle and you're buying it, sometimes there's a better deal to buy FSD if you're purchasing it new, and that price is disclosed on the Tesla website. But this one has 276 comments and 570 likes or engagements, reactions. So some of the top comments for this one where FSD is so nice on long trips. Not a big fan in the city as it drives way different than I do, but on road trips it rocks. And it's a fair point that if FSD, if you don't like FSD in certain scenarios, man, turn it off or don't activate it. We talk about this a lot, Rod, a lot of people who hate FSD and some of the comments that I'm not going to read here today talk about how, you know, they went into a construction zone and it didn't know what to do. It drove crazy. You know, it never would occur to me to activate FSD in a construction zone. I've got a roundabout up here it was smaller and they're making it bigger so that more traffic can flow through it. And while they're doing the construction, there's 2 3-way stops. It would never occur to me to try to let FSD navigate through that. I mean, maybe as a test just to see what it would do, but then I wouldn't complain because it's FSD supervised. And that's where you have to supervise it in situations like that. Hey, horrible weather, snow, construction zones, places where people are walking across the street, just don't test it, turn it off, drive, and then turn it back on.
Yeah, I agree completely. I love FSD. And I think that in some ways, Elon, you know, over-marketed it a little bit. I'm with you. We have roundabouts everywhere around here and I'm not letting FSD. People don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they're doing. I'm like watching, trying to make eye contact and watch body language in roundabouts because people don't know how to use roundabouts. So I don't know how FSD. And then to your point, I read the comment about it was dark, it was raining, it was snowing. It was a detour in a construction zone and FSD was acting crazy. Yes, it was. Okay. Take it off FSD in that situation.
Right. Yep. A couple more comments here. FSD is the best feature of Tesla. That's quite a statement. And I tend to maybe agree with that. I like a lot of the features, but FSD may be the best. I'm 100% paying when my trial ends. It's a game changer. I can't imagine driving without it. Best $99 a month I've ever spent. And then the final comment here is same, trying to justify it by thinking of it as using the money I would spend on gas on the subscription instead. And so for me, you know, I traded in, this is crazy. So, you know, I'm a recovering drag racer and I traded in my Ram 2500 mega cab, super nice truck, loved it, but I really had no use for it anymore. And it's hard to navigate around town. This thing was long and huge and, you know, 6.7 turbo Cummins diesel. And when I went to get and traded it in on my Model X that I have, the salesperson called me when I sent pictures and the VIN number and everything and said, hey, you know, the car that you're looking at is a Model X. Did you know that? And I said, yeah, I know that. Why? And he was just like, I thought that there might be something wrong when you sent this stock model and you're trading in this truck, which I thought was kind of, I thought that was humorous, but
pretty big mismatch,
but you know, my truck was, you know, 16, maybe 17 miles per gallon on diesel. And so I'm saving a ton of money, way more than $99 a month. And if I were looking at that offset for it, my car has it purchased on the vehicle. But even if I were paying that $99 a month, it would totally be worth it.
Yeah. I think Tesla is just a fun vehicle to drive. You know, they're so quiet, the instant torque. I love to drive my Tesla. But there are situations with road trips or navigating somewhere that FSD is just great. So I don't think it has to be an all or none. I think it's great to enjoy the fun and excitement of driving a Tesla. It's also great sometimes when you're just ready to chillax a little bit.
And that's a trade-off for, like, when you're going on a trip. I've always been kind of, hey, own an ICE vehicle, an internal combustion engine, and a Tesla. Right? You get the best of both worlds. Take your trip, go in your ICE vehicle. But I still find myself, yeah, even on longer trips, I want to take the Tesla because FSD.
Me too.
It's worth the 20-minute stop to charge.
Absolutely. I'll budget in the 20 minutes and go eat a sandwich and use the restroom. So moving on to number two post, is about the release of the updated Model Y that was just announced. We saw a lot of posts about this in Asian countries and Europe. Take us through the new model, 2025 Model Y.
Yeah, release, so the post says new updated Model Y launched in almost all Asian countries. This is Tesla Singapore. So I went to the Tesla Singapore site, and for those who are just listening, we'll discuss through this. But if you're watching, if you see this globe over here, you can choose the country of what you're looking at, the content of the site is for. So if I choose the American site, it shows the current Model Y. If I choose an Asia Pacific country, it shows the new refresh. And so this new refresh, it's showing, this is Singapore dollars, $76,590 for the rear-wheel drive, which is about $55,990 US dollars. So it did get a bit of a price increase, as you would expect with a refresh. And this is the launch series, which is a little bit more than what the standard series will be. And before we jump into what the launch series includes, let's just take a look at some of the refresh parts. And man, the outside, you've got this.
Really looks, the body work, the body style looks really sleek, and some new lines. It looks really,
man, and these really wheels good. Something about the way that these wheels kind of they go in, they look 3D to me, and so they kind of look like they kind of like protrude out from the center, because they do. But I love these new wheels. And the back section is, of course, redesigned. You got a brake bar. There's the light bar.
Light bar on the front is a nice, that's a nice new
and
look.
You see that, like, that's how you can tell a lot of EVs. If you're driving down the road and you kind of see that slim light bar, you're like, yeah, yep, that's an EV. Yeah. So they've brought that in. The interior looks refreshed. New console, new seats. It's got new lighting. You know, you got the cabin mood where you can change the colors of the lighting. So it's got that throughout the cabin, which looks fantastic.
There's so much glass. So much. it almost looks like it's just just got a roll bar, and it's a convertible with a roll bar. The windshield and the top really looks.
It neat. Does. Yep. And in the back, you've got a rear 8-inch touchscreen that integrates in with the vehicle for the rear passengers. So that's awesome. You've, you know, just all around kind of refreshed the speakers. The sound system is supposed to be upgraded. The retuned suspension for a smoother ride and better handling, more responsive steering. It's supposed to be quieter. Again, like I said, better soundscape, better than noise canceling. On the launch series, just like they did with the Cybertruck, they're having a launch series for this, and their launch series is going to include a rear liftgate badge. This is the launch series, kind of looks halfway plaid. It's like a sun icon with the half plaid coming out of it to me. I don't know how to explain it, but the rear liftgate badge has the launch series a logo on it. It's also got a puddle light for the launch series, and it's got a dorsal plate word mark for the launch series. And then it says launch series on the charging console as well. And the black interior has vegan suede instead of the standard vegan leather. So that's what's included in the launch series, that 55,000. If that's what holds true for the American market, I'm assuming it will, doing the conversion from Singapore dollar to American dollar, but we'll see what happens when this is released in North America. But that 55,900 will come down after the launch series, I'm sure, as the Cybertruck did. But overall, this is exciting news. People are ready to see this new Model Y out on the road.
Yeah, the noise canceling is always interesting to me that they're working on that, because it's like Teslas are already so quiet. Like, what noise are you trying to cancel? But they're so quiet that you pick up more road noise. Noise. And so they're actually working to make what is the smoothest, quietest ride out there. Now they're so smooth and quiet, we want to cancel the road noise, you know, and the tires and so that's really interesting that they're continuing to refine that. So excited about that. We don't know the release date in the U.S. yet. We're hearing production is ready to start pretty soon in Europe, and still waiting to find out when the 2025 Model Y will be released here in the U.S., but probably be pretty soon. So let's move on to the number one post this week from Ed, which is about Tesla's biodefense mode. Tori, please tell us what biodefense mode is as we jump into these
right.
posts.
So he says Tesla bioweapon defense mode saves driver fleeing Palisades fire in Los Angeles. And what biodefense is it recirculates the air in the cabin through a HEPA filter. And it pressurizes the cabin so that there's more air on the inside as it's recirculating and going through the HEPA filter. And it's just, you know, gets 99.9% of contaminants, as that's what HEPA filters do. So you think about riding in a fire, and even on recirculate in a normal car, it's still not pressurized. And so smoke is going to get in, and it'll, you know, recirculate helps when you're driving past a paper mill or something like that, but you can still smell it, right? You still get a little whiff of it. Well, with the biodefense mode, it actually, even if a little whiff were to come in and you smelled something from outside, when you put biodefense mode on, it's recirculating and pressurizing the cabin, running it through the HEPA filter, and it will actually remove any smells. So some people call this the fart remover mode, because if somebody passes gas in the vehicle, then you can circulate the HEPA filter and get rid of it. So that's what he's saying here. And this is a very practical use. There were people in, and this was some of the comments that I didn't highlight below as we read through them, in Atlanta and Conyers, where I'm from, BioLab caught on fire and chlorine burned. And it was you couldn't be outside. You couldn't go outdoors because it would burn your lungs. It would burn your eyes. And people would say that they would, you know, run to the Tesla, turn on biodefense mode, and they could drive through it no problem because the HEPA filter and the pressurized cabin, it was great. So reading some of the comments here, the first thing that you see here, it talks about Model 3s don't have this mode. And somebody said, did they take the...
There's not room in the Model 3 is what yep. my understanding is why it doesn't.
That's exactly it. Right. It says, did they take the bioweapon defense mode from the new Model 3? I've noticed the symbol isn't there. No, it was not on the old Model 3. It wasn't on any Model 3 because there wasn't room for the HEPA filter. But that's a big distinction. And then somebody commented, use the biodefense a few months back when driving through a wildfire in my area, worked really well. Then somebody commented, this is an interesting question. I wonder if that bio mode would work in case of a nuclear war, and it would probably help with the HEPA filter until it clogged or the battery ran out. but definitely helps. And then again, it's, I don't know why it seems like, whether it's emissions mode and the fart sounds or biodefense, it's there's always, it's like, I feel like in most of our podcasts, we're saying the word fart, but it says also clears and neutralizes a fart in 39 seconds or less, which sounds like an infomercial.
My mom would not approve.
Our older class people would not approve of the word fart.
Yeah. One of the, in Georgia, where I'm from and where Tori's at now, there are a lot of paper mills. And one of the comments I thought was interesting, when you ride by paper mills, they tend to have a kind of a sulfur, it's a pretty bad smell. And there was a comment here from someone who commutes to work every day by a paper mill, and they put on the biodefense mode, and it completely, there's no smelling the paper mill. And then if it's off, it smells horrible. So I thought that was really interesting. One post that I did take note of from a retired firefighter, and as we're covering this, the terrible and tragic fires in California are happening, and this is a retired firefighter, paramedic, and a certified wildland firefighter. I can tell you this, internal combustion engines don't work well in smoke. They need oxygen. Teslas do not need that O2, and therefore are a much safer bet if you have to drive through thick smoke to escape. With the biohazard mode, it filters the cabin air through HEPA filters and does not contaminate the cabin with outside air. It's exactly what you need to escape a smoky situation. That's pretty compelling.
That is compelling. And this one has the most reactions, with over 1,000 reactions and 177 comments. And the reach of this post happened to go out. You know, we have 277,000 members, but as you can see on the screen, it reached 72,000 of them, which is, that's a pretty big amount for one single post to reach.
Yeah. Well, that was fun, Tori. That's some five of the interesting posts from the Tesla Tips and Tricks group from this past week. And we'll wrap this thing up. Before we do that, Tori, take us through for new listeners a little bit about our T3 website and tell us about Tesla Tips and Tricks.
Yeah, so Tesla Tips and Tricks is again, it's designed for, you know, tips, tricks, cool features, how do you use your car, but also news and member deals. And part of those member deals is our T3 auctions. And the T3, again, that's Tesla Tips and Tricks, three T's. So our T3 auctions are free for our members, so they can list their car for free and upload some pictures. We have services available for inspections. We have services available for getting professional photography done on your car, which is huge. A picture's worth 1,000 words. And so if you have really good pictures, really high quality, high resolution pictures of your car, people trust that they're getting what they think they're getting. And that's true, because you can see in detail all the benefits of the car. So we write a value building description for the car. We'll upload all the pictures, start the auction. We'll manage it. We'll advertise it nationwide to Tesla enthusiasts and help you to sell it. So perhaps you don't want to deal with all the marketplace shenanigans of people reaching out and asking if it's still available or if they can come and take a joyride, or if you'll take an obscene low ball number for it. So we'll work through all of that for you. We'll manage the comments. We'll publicize it. And it really takes the selling of your used Tesla from what is often a miserable experience and makes it a fun experience when you do a T3 auction.
Makes buying it fun too. If you haven't ever jump in, we love the members to help us vet vehicles. We on our T3 auctions, you can go in and comment, you can share thoughts, but it really makes buying fun. And also we help to facilitate the sale to ensure a safe and secure transaction. So we also eliminate, you know, private party concerns of scamming. We'll help line up shipping, really a complete done for you experience. And we make buying and selling fun and easy, and that's the way it should be. Buying a new used vehicle is one of the most exciting purchases that people ever make, and it should be fun and exciting. And that's what Tesla Tips and Tricks is all about doing, is making it fun and exciting.
Yep, that's it.
So, all right, well, that wraps up this episode. Thanks for listening and or watching. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.